have this mentality that when our heart gets right with God, then we will obey or stop doing something. But God, on the other hand, is saying, I want you to stop doing this so that your heart will get right with me.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host here. In just a moment, you're going to hear from Senior Pastor at New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. He's in the second half of a message titled, Make Your Money Follow You, in a series titled, Provision, Seeing the God We Trust. He starts off in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where Jesus says, Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things that you need will be given to you as well. It's this countercultural, counterintuitive command that Jesus gives us, but it's driven in the heart of it is that we actually have a Father. And many of us, we run around like orphans. We run around with an orphan mentality that there's nobody that's going to take care of us. We've got to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We've got to be our own God. We've got to be our own provider. And while God has called us to be responsible, He's also called us to be His children. And in the heart of this passage, in the heart of this message, is the fact that you can trust God. You really can, right now, where you're at. He wants to father you. He wants you to give Him the chance, the opportunity to come through for you. And that's what this message is all about. And so as we get ready and prepare our hearts, I want to pray for you. Friend, open your heart to God. Jesus, I ask in your name that you would touch the listeners' hearts who are struggling with great anxiety and fear and depression over finances. I pray that today's message would be a shot in the heart and a call back home to put our allegiance and our trust in you, and that as we follow your word, you would provide for every one of our needs as we seek first your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Today, we are in Matthew chapter 6. Make your money follow you.
In the Old Testament, God had told the people of Israel, whenever you collect a crop, I want you to bring a tenth of what you bring first of all to my house. They had stopped doing that. When God said, when you have a harvest, the first part I want you to bring to me, so I will bless the rest. They had stopped doing that. And so God was telling them, hey, you are robbing me because you are no longer giving like trusting me. You have stopped giving your tithes and offerings. You have stopped contributing, and therefore it's a sign that you have stopped trusting me, that I can meet your needs, that I can bless the rest. And therefore God had started to see them as robbery by what they did. Now here's what's interesting to me. What's interesting to me is oftentimes we have this mentality that when our heart gets right with God, then we will obey or stop doing something. But God, on the other hand, is saying, I want you to stop doing this so that your heart will get right with me. Are you tracking? There may be someone that's here and saying, hey, Pastor, when my heart gets right with God, I'm going to marry this woman that I'm dating, and I'm going to stop sleeping with her on the weekends when my heart gets right with God. But maybe God is telling you, stop sleeping with her on her weekends, and maybe that is the doorway for your heart to start getting right with God. It's kind of like, yeah, Pastor. The point that I'm making is that sometimes it's a step of repentance and obedience that makes our heart get in a place where it can get right with God. Often we're waiting and we're saying, well, God, change me, and then I'm going to obey. But God is saying, no, I want you to obey, and in the process, I'm going to change your heart. God was telling these people, I want you to show that you've trusted me. And one of the ways I want you to show that you trust in me, I want you to start to bring your tithes and offering to the house of God and say, God, you are number one, and watch how I change your heart once you determine that you're going to obey in this area that's difficult to obey me. Number two, not only does God tell him in this passage, return to me. The second thing that God tells him in this passage is stop robbing me. See, when you fail to honor God with your finances, it plugs the funnel of release in your life. Look what it says in verse 9. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe and offering into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now, you are under a curse. That's a pretty strong language, isn't it? Once in a while, I'll have someone come up to me and they'll say, Pastor, I think someone cursed me. And I'll say, well, what makes you think that you're cursed? And they'll go on to explain that they either have an unusual disease or strange dreams that are happening or something that's going wrong in their life that's unexplainable. And they'll say, I don't understand it, but I think someone's cursing me. I think I'm under some kind of curse of some sort. And what we understand is we understand the difference between blessing and curses, right? A blessing is the favor of God. Blessing means that God's favor flows out in our direction so that we receive more than what we deserve and more goodness than what we deserve because God is favoring us. A curse means that the blessing has been taken away from us, and that instead of good coming to our life, evil or bad circumstances is plaguing us or following us or coming around us. In other words, evil or damage or hurt or pain is following us. Back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says when God created man and woman, the very first thing that he did was what? He blessed them. Can I tell you, you are blessed? In fact, not only are you blessed, but it's the heart of God to bless you. God delights in blessing his sons and daughters. It's God's great joy to bless you. The very first thing that came out of the heart of God when he created Adam and Eve was to bless them. In other words, I want favor to flow into your life. I want goodness to follow you. I have given you my image, my favor, my goodness. May it flow upon your life. When Adam and Eve fell in disobedience and they ate of the fruit of the tree that God had said, don't eat of, what happened to them? They were cursed. And then you read the curses that came upon them. There'll be one of the curses, by the way, was that there would be pain in childbearing. That now, when you have a child, because of this, now when you have a child, you will experience pain in having that child. How many of you mothers say amen to that? You will experience pain because there's a curse. So that every time you're in pain, even though you're giving birth to a blessing, you are reminded of the fact that that humanity has fallen, and when you give birth to a child, that fallen humanity has affected your child. That child is a blessing to you, but they're born into a world that has a curse. So next time, husbands, next time you're at your wife's side and she's giving birth and kind of groaning and yelling, just say, honey, let me just explain Genesis to you. This is really about the curse. Don't do that. I've often thought, by the way, how a birth would be before the curse happened. Like, you know, think about it. If there was no pain in childbearing, I think people would kind of gather, hey, she's going to be born. The birth's going to happen. The whole party gets around. She goes behind the curtain in another room. And just like, you know, plop comes out. Then she comes out all happy, smiling. Hey, can I hold the baby? Yeah, let's pass it around there. That's how it would have been. That's how it would have been. You know, it's just like crank these babies. Some of you would have had a lot more children if that were the case, if the curse weren't a part of it. But I've wondered how it would be without the curse. But you see, one thing brings curses, the other thing brings blessing, but God ultimately, the heart of God is to bless you. So, when this passage says you're under a curse, it's not saying that God has cursed you. It says you have brought a curse upon yourself. How many of you know there's a difference between God cursing you and you bringing a curse upon yourself? God never curses what he's blessed. If God has blessed you, he doesn't curse you. So if you are under a curse, it's not because God has brought you under a curse. It's because you have stepped out of his zone of blessing and you have brought a curse upon yourself. God wants to bless you, but you've stepped into a place of curses yourself. Let me explain it as a father. I have three children, a 23-year-old daughter, a 22-year-old son, and a 17-year-old son. All of them a great blessing. My desire is to bless my kids. I want them to do well. I'm excited when they do well. I want them to prosper. I want them to be healthy. I want them to make their own way in life. I want them to buy their car and have an apartment and get a good career and finish college and get A's and be healthy and date right and marry well and in the right time have children. I want them to do excellent. I want them to do well. In fact, anything that I can do to help them out, I want to do that for them because it's my great joy and delight that they do well. Every parent feels that way, right? However, kids can also step out of the zone of blessing. You know, I could tell my kids, you know, hey, drive safe, keep in the speed limit, don't go out of the speed limit, watch how you drive, make sure you're aware. And I could have one of my kids that say, you know, I know what dad says, but you know, what does he know? He's just a dad. And so they step on it, they go past the speed limit, and they get caught speeding and can get a ticket given to them and their license suspended. And then they can come back and say, what's going on? Now, did I do that to them? No. They did it to themselves. They're experiencing the pain of not listening to the father's advice, because if they stayed in the zone of blessing, they would have done well, but they brought on curses themselves. Now they have to pay a fine. They have to pay a ticket. They may have to have their license suspended. They can't work at the job that they wanted because now they can't get there on time. Thankfully, this is a hypothetical. It hasn't happened, not yet, Lord. But what happens is they bring a curse upon themselves, not because I cursed them, but because they stepped out of a zone of blessing and have brought a curse upon themselves, not because I want to curse them, but because they've brought curses upon their own life.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Make Your Money Follow You, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 31 through 34. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Make Your Money Follow You.
Now listen to me well. Some of you feel like you're operating within a curse, but it's not a curse that God has given you. God has said, I want you to operate in this zone of blessing. I want you to experience my fellowship. I want to touch your finances, your body, your marriage, your health, everything that you are. I want you to stay in this zone of blessing. And you operate in this zone of blessing, and then you look outside and say, yeah, but I want to do it my way. And you step out of that zone of blessing, and you start doing things your way, and suddenly you start reaping the consequences of your decision. And now it seems like God has abandoned you, and now it seems like things are going wrong, and now it seems like God is against you, and you look to the heavens and you say, what do you have against me, God? And God says, nothing. I want to bless you. You have stepped out of the zone of blessing and brought curses upon yourself, not because I've cursed you, but because you have cursed yourself. Now listen to me. Some of you are still reaping the consequences of bad choices that you made in your life. Some of you are still reaping the consequences of choices that you made outside of God's will. You are reaping the consequences of years of living outside of God and away from God, and it feels like all this stuff is coming your way, and you wonder why it's coming your way, not because God is against you, but because you have brought curses upon your own life. God says to these people through Malachi, you're under a curse, not my curse, your curse, the whole nation of you. The nation was struggling, their marriages were down, their families were falling apart, their spiritual life was gone, and not only that, but they were suffering financially as well. They were under a curse because they had chosen not to put God first in their life, and they were starting to experience the consequences of not putting God first in their life. And as a result, the entire nation was feeling like they were under this curse in their life. I want you to hear me well. This is very important. I believe that we generate blessings or curses depending on how we choose to respond to God. As you read scripture, one of the greatest ways for blessing to be generated in our life is when we start understanding that we may have needs, but we are not needy. If you've been around here, you've heard me say that. Let me tell you what happens when we stop trusting God. When we stop trusting God and putting God first, we start looking to meet our needs in illegitimate ways. You can have legitimate needs that you meet in illegitimate ways. Let me say that again. You can have legitimate needs that you meet in illegitimate ways. You have the need to be loved. Yeah, that's a legitimate need. But when you go outside of your marriage and find a mistress, that's an illegitimate way to meet a legitimate need. Hey, you have a legitimate need. Yeah, I understand you have to pay your bills and pay your mortgage. But when you start stealing in order to meet that legitimate need, you found an illegitimate way to meet a legitimate need. Oh, I know you want to feel filled with food, which is good. Your body tells you, I'm hungry. But when you start packing on those Doritos and you start filling yourself up on junk, oh, I know you feel full. I know it tastes good going down. But you have found an illegitimate way to meet a legitimate need, and that legitimate need is to be satisfied and to be full of food, but you found an illegitimate way, an unhealthy way to do it. Are you tracking with me? So, hey, I know that you have a legitimate need to feel peace in your heart, but when you're rolling it up and smoking a blunt, you're finding an illegitimate way of meeting a legitimate need. Oh, I know that you want to feel happy and tranquil inside, but when you're downing a Jack Daniels every night, two at a time, and you're going to bed drunk every night, you have a legitimate need that you're filling in an illegitimate way. We have all legitimate needs, but when we pursue illegitimate ways to satisfy our needs, we bring about curses upon our life, and it has consequences to our soul. And so God is telling these people, hey, you stopped trusting me. And now that you've stopped trusting me, you're going out trying to fulfill your financial need and every other need in a wrong way, and you brought curses upon yourself, so stop robbing me. Put me first. Honor me first. Make sure that you're saying, I'm following you first, God, number one in my life. And part of the way that happens, listen, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you give, it will be measured to you as well. That's Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Oh, man, I wish I could preach. I got to wrap things up here. The last one, number three. God not only says, return to me, stop robbing me. Thirdly, he says, test me. Test me. Our giving unlocks doors to overflow that can be opened no other way. Let me read to you this verse that's found in verse 10. God says in this verse, it's the only place in all of Scripture where God says it. God says, test me, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open. Oh, I love that expression. Throw open, not crack open. Throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. Test me and see if I will not do that. I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops. Literally, it says, I will prevent the eater from eating up your crops and the vines of your field and cast on your fruit, says the Lord God Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. God says, test me, put me first, and test me to see if I will not fulfill my promises to you. Test me and see if I will not, if you put me first, open up the floodgates of heaven and bless you to such an extent that you won't even be able to contain that blessing, and no one will be able to rob that blessing, because I'm going to stop the eater from taking your blessing away from you. That's what God is saying in this passage. Trust me and see. You see, I strongly believe that one of the changes that God wants to make in our mindset is trusting Him and putting Him first, so that we discover the power of having needs but not being needy. And let me just explain how this works. Those of you that have been around here know I've taught on this before, but I want to reiterate it. I believe that when we have needs that we fulfill in an illegitimate way, that what we do is we see ourselves as needy people. I believe that God wants you to move from the mindset of I'm a needy person to the mindset of I have needs, but I am more of someone who meets needs than someone who has needs. Listen to me. As long as you see yourself as a needy person, you will look around to every relationship in your life to try to satisfy your needs. And you will resent the people that don't meet your needs. You will look at the people around you and try to squeeze them to meet your needs. And everyone in life ultimately will disappoint you. Because only God can meet the greatest, deepest, powerful needs of your life. See, the moment that you start saying, okay, I have needs, but I will refuse to be needy, is the moment that you realize I have something to give. And so I move from being a taker to a giver. I move from being someone that's needy to a need meter in my life. I start becoming someone that gives instead of takes. I start becoming someone that has something to offer instead of someone that's just taking from people around me. And the same is true in the spiritual life of a believer, and the same is true in the spiritual life of a church. I've been pastoring this church since I was 21 years old. I had more hair and less wisdom. But when I first started pastoring this church was very small and very poor. Very poor. We did not have a worship team. Our building was falling apart. I was the only person on staff. And my salary was $8,000 a year. No insurance, no parsonage, no car. Our offerings were pathetic. They were small. In fact, I just realized it today, this week. I realized that if you were to take our entire income, the first year I pastored this church, our whole income for the whole year, that this past year, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but this past year, I gave more in my tithes and offerings than our entire income was the first year that I pastored this church. What a blessing that is, right? I mean, like, yeah, I love it.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Provision, Seeing the God We Can Trust. Tonight was the second half of his message called Make Your Money Follow You. This will conclude our series. The entire series is available for free via our Straight Talk app. Join us again for a brand new series tomorrow called CSI, Christ Said, I Am. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.